God desires all of us to live. Today, we're going to look at another type of faith or a different dynamic with faith. This morning, we're going to look at the stages of a failing faith. Now, as we look at just about anything in life, we can see different stages. We can see how we got to where we are now. We can have something devastating in our life, and we can look back and see how we digressed. And I want you to understand, you can see, you can know, you can understand where you are with your faith. You always can. So let's look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. This is very familiar scripture this morning. Matthew 26, 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant approached him and said, and she said, "You were with Jesus the Galilean too." But he denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about." When he had gone to the gate, to the gateway, another woman saw him and told those who were there, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there approached and said, "Peter, you certainly were one of them, since even your accent gives you away." Then he started to curse. An apostle. Did y'all get that? Then he started to curse and to swear an oath, "I do not know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. Pray that you would be with us right now. Pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. God, help us not to be looking around, but to concentrate on ourselves. Find out what we need to take away from this message. Pray that you would just be with us now. Help us to feel your love. Help us to feel your presence, knowing that you're with us, God. And as always, God, as we walk through these doors here in a few minutes, back out into our mission field, Lord, what you created us for, to serve you from the tops of our heads to the tips of our shoes, God, help us to remember the message, how it applies to us, and how that we might better serve you. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. I want you to understand here in this scripture we just read, let there be no doubt. Let we all understand. Let us all acclaim with one accord that we saw something in Peter. Peter failed God. He failed him. Church, to be quite honest, Peter failed God miserably. He did. He failed God miserably. Peter, a chosen apostle, failed God. When you first learn this, I remember one of the first times I ever read through this, and I saw that Peter failed God, failed him miserably. Did it shock you? Did it kind of just, I can't believe that Peter did this. I remember it shocking me. We're not talking about an ordinary Joe here. We're talking about an apostle who not only was just an apostle, he was in the inner circle with Jesus Christ. Every time Jesus went somewhere, every time Jesus went off to pray, every time he went to do something, he would take Peter with him. Peter was just not an ordinary person. He was an apostle, but he wasn't an ordinary apostle. He was in the inner circle, in the inner workings of the apostles. And he still failed. He failed, and he failed miserably. Now, let me ask this, as we're heading towards the meat of the message. Could Peter have chosen not to fail Christ? Could he have chosen? Yes. He could have chosen. Last week's sermon was evidence that it's possible for a person to live a righteous, faithful life. Peter failed in his faith because of personal decisions that he made. Right? Now, when something happens in our life, you know what we too often do? We play the blame game. Well, you know, it was his fault. It was her fault. It was that person's fault. And I love this one. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Who are they blaming? They won't say it, but who are they blaming? God. God. It's God's fault that this is happening to me. Church, a lot of things that happen to us because of personal decisions in our life. We can learn from it and move forward, or we can continue to not learn from it and continue to fail God. Now, Scripture tells us the depths of Peter's failing, but it also shows us that Peter felt so unworthy after his failing that he returned to fishing. Did y'all get that? As y'all are reading through the Gospels, Miss Desi, did you see that? I mean, Peter, he was so miserable. The Scripture today, Bob says that he went out and he wept bitterly, but it went beyond that. At some point in time, Mr. and Miss Porter, after he walked out and wept bitterly, he said, I don't know what's going on. I'm going back to fishing. And that's where Jesus found him later on, fishing. Church, understand that Peter, an apostle within the inner circle of Christ, just did not wake up one morning and say, I think I'm going to fail the Son of God today. He didn't just wake up one morning and say, you know, today's the perfect, Ricky, today is the day. Today, hey, TC, today is the day that I'm going to give up on Jesus and just walk away. Today I'm going to fail God. And Dan, it's not just going to be a failure. I'm going to fail Him miserably today. I think today is going to be the day. Peter didn't do that. He didn't do that. Peter made choices, and Peter was warned. Can I tell you that so many times in life, as we're heading down a path, we get warnings, we get inclinations, we get taps on the shoulder, we get things that happen in our life, and God is warning us. Now, I have the greatest warning detector of all in the world. I've got the best warning. It is better than a smoke detector in your house. It is better than a brake pedal in your car. It is better than just about... It's my wife. Really. I mean, she is my warning detector. And it goes off very like a fire detector. And it's a good thing most of the time. Church, in our lives, God taps us on the shoulder and He lets us know, hey, ho, you're heading down the wrong path. Don't do it. You don't have to do it. Go the other way. If we don't listen to God, it is not God's fault. It's not. It's our fault. Now, let's look at how Peter was warned. Let's look at Peter's words from himself. Jesus is recorded as telling Peter in Luke chapter 2, verse 31. He tells Peter this. He says, Simon, Satan has asked to have you, to sift you as wheat. Now, Jesus told him this. Jesus looked right at Peter and said, Peter, Satan. Now, I really don't know how that feels. Now, I've been sifted by family members, church members. I'm pretty sure I've been sifted by, certain demonic powers that are taking place all around us. But Satan himself, Ricky, I don't know how that feels. Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Now, I don't know what you would do in a case like this. I'd spend some serious time and some serious prayer if that was me. Amen? I mean, because you're not wondering, I wonder if this is Satan. You know that it's Satan. There's no doubt in your mind that it's Satan, especially if Jesus tells you. Jesus warned Peter point blank. Not only that, listen, Jesus warned all the apostles that when he was taken, they all would be ashamed of him and they would all run and hide. Now, as we read through that total scripture, and I'm not going to take time to do it this morning, they all had a high mind of themselves because they all said, oh, no, not me, not me, not me. I won't, not me, not me, but they all did. And only one came back, and that was John. Peter was personally warned again in Luke chapter 22 by Jesus when he told Peter, listen, Peter,
not only are you all going to run and hide, not only, listen, is Satan want to sift you personally like wheat, but Peter, listen to me. Listen, Peter, are you listening to me? Today, not tomorrow, not the next day, not next week, but today, you will deny me. You will deny that you even know me. Not once, not twice, but three times. Church, Peter did not believe Jesus, even though Jesus was telling him those things were going to happen. He didn't believe him. Nope. Not me. Not me. I wonder if he fluffed his robe and says, listen, Jesus, I'm not an ordinary man here. I am an apostle. I've walked with you. I'm not going to... Hey, not only that, Jesus, I've noticed that, listen, you always pull me to the side. I must be special. I'm a special apostle. I'm not, there's Mr. Holman, there's no way I can fail you. Church, the reason Jesus knew that Peter, what Peter didn't know, is Jesus was watching Peter as his faith was about to falter. Jesus was watching him. These signs were here this morning as we read through the scripture that we just read through. Let's look back at what Peter did and how his denials took place and see if we can see something here. So let's look back at Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse 69. Verse 69 says this. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant approached him and she said, you were with Jesus the Galilean too. But he denied it in front of everyone. I don't know what you're talking about. As we look at verse 69 and 70 of chapter 26. Church, by Peter's own admission, words that came directly out of his mouth, he was somewhere he was not supposed to be, and his faith was failing. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? He was not supposed to be where he was. The admission that came out of his mouth. Well, Brother Kyle, what are you talking about? The admission that came out of his mouth. Look at chapter 26, verse 33. Let's see what Peter had to say. Oh, bold Peter. Verse 33 says this. Peter told Jesus, even if everyone runs away because of you, everybody runs away because of you, I will never run away. Jesus looked and he said, I assure you, Jesus said unto him, tonight before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Look at verse 35. Listen to Peter. Listen to the testimony that comes out of his mouth. Even if I have to die with you, Peter told him, I will never deny you. And all his disciples said the same thing. Church, Jesus could see Peter's faith faltering, and he knew everything that was going to happen and take place. But as we look through these denials, we can see little evidences that were taking place in Peter's life that should not have been there. This Desi, he shouldn't have been where he was. He should not have been where he was. Where should Peter have been if his faith were strong? Where would he have been? If we listen to the admission that came out of his mouth, we see where he is. Where should Peter have been? He should have been standing right beside Jesus. You see, when he was standing close to Jesus and he was talking with Jesus, the closer he was to Jesus, guess where his faith was? His faith was strong. But the further he got away from Jesus, his faith got rattled. And by his own admission, I'll never leave you. I'll never do this. I'll never do this. Church, because Peter, where he was where he was, his faith had failed. Well, Brother Kyle, how does that apply to me? You can take yourself places that you have no business going, and your faith is going to fall. The further you are away from Jesus, the easier it is going to be for your faith to fall. Well, what does that mean? You better stay close to Jesus. Amen. I mean, who in their right mind would think an apostle in the inner circle, Ricky, of Jesus Christ would not just fail Jesus, would fail Jesus miserably, deny knowing him, and cuss the people to show them that he doesn't know? Who would have thought that something like that would take place, Keith? He was where he shouldn't have been. But listen, it gets a little deeper here. Look at verse 71 and 72. Let me flip back. Verse 71 and 72. When he had gone to the gateway, another woman saw him and told those who were there, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I don't know this man." Church, in these verses, we see Peter's faith faltering as Peter is hanging out with people that had no business hanging out with. Peter would never have denied Christ had he not been where he wasn't supposed to be and hanging out with people that he had no business hanging around with. Amen. These people that he was hanging around with at the fire, were they Jesus supporters? What were they doing hanging around? They were wanting to see the fireworks. They were wanting to see drama. And aren't people just attracted to a bunch of drama? They wanted to see what was taking place. Yeah, let's see the Son of God get himself out of this. He calls himself the Son of God. Let's see him get himself out of this. Where was Peter? Right there beside him. Right there beside him. Listen to me. Your faith is going to fail you when you go places you shouldn't go. Youth, are y'all paying attention? Hanging around the people that you shouldn't be hanging around with. Your faith is going to fail. Listen, y'all have heard me say this before, but I think it's pertinent. I want to say it again. If you walk like a duck, look like a duck, quack like a duck, dress like a duck, when people look at you, they're going to consider you to be a duck. If you don't want to be a duck or considered to be a duck, don't hang around with a bunch of ducks. Amen. Gary, is that, I mean, you got that? I mean, that? Is that simple enough? Who you identify with is who you're going to wind up being. Really. Now, I don't think that we as Christians, we should just get ourselves in a bubble and we should spend all day long in Bible study and sing Kumbaya and buy a cross and raise it to the Lord. And you know, I'm not saying that at all. But church, listen to me. Who you associate with the most, it's going to have an effect on you, I promise you. I have seen people time and time and time again, good Christian people who go out and they associate with the world. And I've seen good-hearted women and good-hearted men start going out, listen to me, youth, going out with people who they know are not Christians. I've seen it. And you talk to them and say, listen, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. And you know what they say? I'm going to win them to the Lord. And 9.5 times out of 10, you know what I see happening? The opposite. Instead of them winning them to the Lord, they win them to the world. They turn their back on God. And you know what? You know what it comes from? It love, love. You don't know how much love. If they love you, they're going to go to church with you. Hey, listen. God used that as a vehicle to get me into the church, to get me to be a Sunday school teacher, to get me to be a deacon, to get me to be a youth pastor, and now a pastor. He used the love of a Christian girl to get me into church. Now she shouldn't have been dating me. Let's see the third thing here. Verse 73 and 74. After a little while, those standing there approached him and said, "Peter, you certainly are one of them, since even your accent gives you away." Then he started to curse and to swear an oath. "I do not know this man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus had spoken. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Church, we now see Peter's faith teetering on the brink of failure because Peter was doing something that he had no business doing. He was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be, hanging out with people he wasn't supposed to be hanging out with, and now we see Peter doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. Well, Brother Kyle, what was it? He was standing at a distance watching all the drama unfold. Standing at a distance. Just looking. Gary, he was standing at a distance. He was probably, you know, trying to weed through the crowd, trying to find Jesus. Just looking, look, standing at a distance. Listen to me, Christian. We've got enough Christians standing at a distance looking to see what Jesus is doing. You need to get back in the game. Your faith is going to fail you while you're standing at a distance looking at seeing what Jesus is doing. Just looking. What are you doing? I'm just looking to see what the church is doing. I love it. Listen, it's wonderful to see everything the church is doing. Get involved. Quit standing at a distance looking at what God is doing. Get involved. If Peter would have had the faith that he thought he had, y'all listening? If Peter would have had the faith that he thought he had, he would have been at the front of the crowd screaming, "You are unjustly persecuting my Savior, my friend, and the Son of God." But we don't see Peter doing that this morning. Peter's faith failed when Peter was not where he should be, hanging out with people he had no business hanging around with and doing things that he had no business doing. Now, church, can I please tell you that there is a day coming, if it has not already come for each and every one of you and for me, that when you come to a point in your life when hard decisions need to be made, your faith may just fail because you're not where you're supposed to be. You're hanging out with people you know that you're, with all your heart, you have no business hanging around, and you're doing things that you, as a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, you know you have no business doing. Sitting in my notes, but listen to me. Peter. Remember Jesus called him in earlier chapters the rock. Peter failed God and failed God miserably. Thought he was so strong. Went back to fishing, Mr. White. Didn't have to. His faith did not have to falter. He failed God because of choices he made in his life. If I stopped right here, and I'm just about done, if I stopped right here and I pointed my finger out to the crowd and said, "Listen, make the right choices." Why is it that Jesus is always the last choice? Why is it that you try everything else, you want to do everything else, you think you're missing out on everything else? Listen, you're not missing out on anything when you choose Jesus first and you stick with the stuff, man. Listen, guys, youth, right now, listen, y'all have an unbelievable opportunity right now to declare, "I'm going to stay with Jesus. Alec, I'm going to stay with Jesus right now. I don't care what everybody else." You can be like Joshua. "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Right now, Brian, you can choose, "I'm going to stay with Jesus. I'm going to college this year. I know there's not going to be a lot of people down there who follow Jesus all the way, but I'm going to." You can make that choice now. And if you make that choice now, that when you come to a time in your life where you have to make a decision, the likelihood that you're going to fail is a whole lot less. Amen. Now you need to look back at Peter's life and realize, hey, if Peter can fail, anybody can fail. And say, "I don't want to fail." And you make decisions in your life appropriately that you don't head in that same direction. That's all you have to do. Man, that sounds easy. Who makes it hard? We do. If we fail, whose fault is it? Can we blame other people? Can we blame our wife? "Amy, you didn't tell me I failed. It's your fault." No, we can't do that. It's our fault. It's our personal decisions, church. Do you see the prescription for a failing faith this morning, church? Can I give you some good news? I mean, I gave you a whole bunch of bad news. Y'all want to hear some good news now? Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. John chapter 21. The last book, last chapter in the book of John. John chapter 21, verse 15. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Church, do you think that hurt to hear Jesus ask Peter that after Peter had failed him miserably? Do you think that hurt him? It stung? I believe it did. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Not just "do you love me," "do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, feed my lambs. A second time, he asked him, Simon, son of God, son of John, do you love me? Jesus, Lord, he said unto him, you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep, he told him. Verse 17. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know everything. Wonder how he got that inclination. Because he hit Peter spot dead on before his crucifixion. Peter finally realized it, Miss Desi. You told me and I didn't listen. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I assure you, when you were young, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to signify the glory of God. After saying this, he told Peter, he told him, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Now, church, you can read this and you can look at it in many different ways, I can imagine. But did you see here? Was it just coincidental here? Angie, was it just a coincidence? How many times did Jesus ask Peter if he loved him? How many? Three. Is it coincidental? How many times did Peter deny him? Three. Is that coincidental? How about there at the end? He saw Peter, called him the rock, knew who he was eventually going to be in the book of Acts. He knew who Peter was going to be, his potential. Listen to me. God knows each and every one of your potentials. He knows what you can be if you will just follow him. He said, Peter, do you love me? I do. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Shepherd my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. In the end, he said, follow me. Why the follow me? Because you have the potential to follow anybody. 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 There's people. One of the greatest things in all this world is social media. It's Facebook. One of the worst things in all the world is social media. It's Facebook. You can get on a social media website, not just Facebook, any one of them, and you can see who people are following. You can. Hey, listen, there's some people who are following bands. Oh, so-and-so. Hey, and I used to be guilty. I was telling Gidget not long ago, hey, I used to love Bon Jovi. I did. So y'all know who Bon Jovi is? Y'all raise your hand, anybody? Hey, listen, I went to a concert when they were an opening act for the band Rat. They threw a drumstick out, Miss Janelle. I caught the drumstick. I did. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. And can I tell you something? I knew more about Rat than I knew about Jesus. I knew more about Bon Jovi than I knew about Jesus. Who you follow is going to say a whole lot about who you are. You can follow friends. Well, this is my group of friends right here. This is my buddy. These are my buddies. They've got my back. If I need anything, they've got me. We hang around all the time. If you see me, you see them. If you see them, you see me. We're with each other. Let me tell you something I learned shortly after I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. When I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, TC, I accepted Him at Calvary Baptist Church in Rock Hill, South Carolina. And it was real, Miss Janelle. And the next Friday night, my buddies called. Hey, we're going over to Shay's house. Parents are out of town. That's what we do, right? Parents, don't be stupid. Do you hear me? Check up on your kids. Make the phone calls. You hear me? Hey, surprise them. Show up one time where they say they're going to be. Brother Kyle, did you ever do that? Oh, yeah. Emily said she was going to a party. She was 14. It's going to be a dancing party. You know what I did? I showed up. The music was playing. I got up there and I started dancing. I started pointing at Emily. I just wanted her to know, hey, I'll show up. I will. Hey, listen, church. Who we identify shows the world who we are. And if you're following the wrong person, following the wrong crowd, listen, it's going to help you make decisions or hurt you when it comes time to make decisions. Jesus told Peter, follow me. Why did he tell him that? Because he knew what Peter's potential was, but he also knew what Peter had done in times past. Peter, me, focus on me. Follow me. Church, the farther you walk away from Jesus, the longer it's going to take you to get yourself back to Him. The longer you stay where you are, the harder it's going to be to get back home. Jesus so desires for you to draw close to Him. Today. Not tomorrow. One of the greatest sins that every person who's ever walked this earth commits is procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. I know I need to do it, but not today. Not today. Draw close to Him today. Stop running and hiding. Stop doing what you know is hurting the Lord. Come home to Him today. Today. So what's stopping you from coming to Jesus right now? A pew beside you or a person beside you? And you can tap on both and ask to be excused as you walk around and come down to this altar and come back to Jesus. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love You. And we're so thankful that in the end of this story, Peter came back to Jesus. We've studied the book of Acts on Sunday night. We know that he became the rock that he was talking about in the book of Matthew. God, we thank You for that. Lord, we also thank You that You have not ever given up on each one of us. God, You know who we are. You know exactly who we are. You know what we've done. You know what we're doing. And God, You still hold out Your hand of mercy and grace and want us to come back home to You. Thank You, Lord, for being that God. And thank You, Lord, for accepting me when I came back home to You. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would move during this time of invitation. In Christ's name, we pray. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, do you need to come?